In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's appointed collect, we hear these opening words. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In other words, the church is not some human invention, but it's a gift of God to us and to the world. And as we've become very aware of over the past several months, the church is so much more than a beautiful building with stained glass windows. In fact, most of us have been worshiping virtually from our homes since mid-March. And although these are certainly unprecedented times for us, this is nothing new for many of our Christian ancestors who have worshiped in caves and homes and huts as persecution and plagues ravage their land. So the church doesn't consist of mortar and bricks, as we know. The church is the body of believers that live out the gospel not only with their words, but through their actions. Today's collect goes on to state that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of this church, and we are invited to rest upon him and what he has already done for us. But Holy Scripture also reminds us that we are living stones who, by resting on Christ, give the whole church its structure, its strength, and its shape. The Anglican bishop N.T. Wright expands upon this idea by comparing Christians to stonemasons working together to build a great cathedral, and God as the master architect. This is what he writes. The architect has already drawn up the plans and passed on the instructions to the team of masons. The foreman distributes these tasks among the team. One shapes stones for a particular tower. Another works on gargoyles. Another is making statues of saints. And when the workers are finished with their stones and statues, they hand them over, not knowing exactly where in the building their works will find their home. In fact, they may not even live to see the completed project, but they trust that the master architect knows what he is doing, and they know that their work will not be wasted. Wright makes it very clear that they themselves are not building the cathedral, but they are building for the cathedral. And when it's finally complete, their small, minute contribution will mean so much more than they could have ever imagined. In the same way, as followers of Jesus, as the body of Christ, as the church, we are invited to build for God's kingdom. Of course, it's up to God, the master architect, to put all the parts and pieces together. But each of us has a crucial role to play in the here and now. Every time we come together, we offer and say together the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, this doesn't mean that it's up to us to save ourselves or save the world. Thank God for that. After all, we believe that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. This is the good news that we rejoice in and celebrate. Yet God's plan is not just for us to be saved by this grace, but it's also for us to live by this grace. As we are reminded in 2 Peter, we are saved by grace, but we are also called to grow into that grace. In other words, God loves us just as we are, and he loves us too much to stay that way. Instead, God longs for us to become the people he has created us to be. And we were created not only to receive love, but perhaps more importantly, to love and serve others. And God longs to use us despite all of our faults, all of our shortcomings, just as he used those first flawed and broken apostles and prophets to begin his church. And so he invites us today, as the body of Christ, as the church, to carry out his purposes here and now. The Anglican bishop Desmond Tutu put it like this: extraordinarily, God the Omnipotent One depends upon us, puny, fragile, vulnerable as we may be, to accomplish God's purpose for good, for justice, for forgiveness, for healing, and for wholeness. And St. Augustine of Hippo once said, God without us will not, as we without God cannot. Now, this may seem like a pretty daunting task, especially with everything that's going on in our city and in our nation. It's easy to look at our broken and hurting world and think to ourselves, if I'm going to make any difference at all, I need to do something big. Otherwise, what's the point? And so we falsely buy into the popular mantra, go big or go home. But in today's gospel lesson, we hear that following Jesus doesn't always require grandiose efforts on our part. Instead, Jesus tells us that doing something as simple as getting a cup of cold water for someone may be all that is required sometimes. Of course, these cups of cold water take on all kinds of forms, including listening to someone in need, reaching out to someone who is lonely, sending a note to someone who is grieving, volunteering in an outreach ministry, praying, not only for those we love, but for those with whom we disagree, those we don't like, viewing all people, despite their gender, despite their political views, despite their race, as God's beloved children. And of course, the list could go on and on and on. The point is, not all of our actions need to be grand gestures. In fact, sometimes, maybe even most of the time, being a follower of Jesus and a member of the church is simply about doing what needs to be done. Some of you have heard me use Mother Teresa's famous quote over the years, which claims that we cannot do great things in this life. We can only do small things with great love. And Mother Teresa was the perfect example of this, wasn't she? On the outside, she appeared to be this larger-than-life person, but in reality, she was doing some pretty small and simple things, such as holding the hand of someone who is sick and dying, wiping their brow, listening to their story, bringing a cup of cold water to someone who is thirsty. In other words, discipleship doesn't always have to be heroic. Instead, it's made up of thousands of small gestures. The Christian author Annie Dillard once wrote, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives." Or to put it a different way, what we do in this life matters. N.T. Wright argues that we are not simply oiling the wheels of a car that's about to roll off the edge of a cliff. Every act of love, no matter how small, will be used in God's new creation. Yet according to Jesus in today's gospel lesson, there are no such things as small gestures. Instead, anything done in faith and love has a spiritual and eternal quality to it. I imagine many of us are familiar with Lauren Isley's story of the star thrower, the story about the guy who's walking along the beach, and he's picking up a starfish and throwing it in the water, and another starfish and throwing it in the water, and then someone comes along and asks, "Why are you doing this?" And he replies, "Well, if I don't throw them back in the water, they will dry out and eventually they will die. And looking at the beach, which is covered with thousands upon thousands of these starfish, the onlooker responds that surely he can't possibly hope to make any difference. To which the man responds, and this is the famous closing line, "To the ones I do throw back, it makes all the difference in the world." I think this is exactly what Jesus is getting at in today's gospel. After all, he has promised that one day he will return to heal all of our hurts, all of our wounds, and to wipe away all the tears from our eyes. But in the meantime, we are invited to pass out cold cups of water by offering small acts of great love, not trying to save the world. God has already promised to do that. But simply trying to take care of that little corner of the world in which we have been placed, to think globally and to act locally, remembering that sometimes even a small cup of cold water can make all the difference in the world. Amen.